Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers. Lose the wizard hat. And ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
Welcome back to an all-new episode of Holding the Line at 390-490-599. It's Geek Cave Podcast Comics. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad.
A Valentine's Day poem.
Oh, God.
My love for you knew no bounds, and oceans I would have swam. That is until you threw out my CGC Universal Grade 9.4 Amazing Fantasy number 15, introducing Spider-Man. Welcome to comics.
That was a journey.
That was. I want to start by thanking our sponsor, Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. With great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of old school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or you're just weird like us, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. In fact, I'm repping one of their shirts right now.
It's a Cowboy Bebop shirt.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And not to be forgotten, Gamefly. With membership options for every budget, plus gifts for gamers of all ages, Gamefly has thousands of titles you can choose from and keep as long as you want. And when you're done, just send it back in the postage-paid envelope for a new one, or keep it forever and pay a lot less than in-store prices. Sign up for your free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com.
Nice Jeff Dunham reference there. That's good. Yeah.
Had to, spice it up a little bit. So, how we doing?
Today's a good day.
Yeah. Today's a good day.
It's a great day.
It's a great day.
It's a great day to be a geek.
Yes.
Ooh. New marketing campaign.
Yeah, but not our new slogan.
No, just... but I'll work something up.
we'll workshop it.
We'll workshop it. Yeah. Discord, listen up.
Hey, Darren.
Yo.
Done anything fun lately?
No, I got to stretch. Hold on a sec.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
It's Darren's first time.
Motherfucker, I told you be gentle.
Welcome to Darren's Pile of Shame, where I picked up a comic book, be that single issue or graphic novel, from a series I've never read before, and I asked myself, is this a relationship worth pursuing, or should I leave all of its messages on read?
Been there.
Let us begin. I give you
bow our heads.
I give you a coin I made from a stone. I give you a song I stole from the dirt. I give you a knife from under the hills and a stick that I stuck through a dead man's eye. I give you a claw I ripped from a rat. I give you a name and the name is lost. I give you the blood from out of my vein and a feather I pulled from an angel's wing. That's an incantation setting into motion the events of today's comic, an iconic landmark piece of fiction you might know because it's been written by Neil Gaiman. Today, we're talking about The Sandman.
Yes!
Thank goodness.
Do not. Hold on.
I was going to say that Calvin and Hobbes got really dark all of a sudden.
Oh my God, Calvin and Hobbes reimagined by Neil Gaiman? Yes.
What?
What are your intentions with my baby?
You'll find out in a second. Jeez, man, don't be such a square. Just friends. We're just going to the movies. That's all.
Let me show you my gun collection, son.
We're just going to go to the movies and then not watch them. So, like I said, today we're talking about The Sandman, which launched on DC's Vertigo imprint in 1989. The man uttering the incantation I quoted earlier is trying to trap death because that's a great idea.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he wanted to live forever. His plan was to trap death in a summoning circle, then coerce death, one of a number of immortal beings called the Endless, into giving him immortality, as one does. Something went wrong.
Oh, yeah.
He forgot to ask for youth as well.
Yeah, no. Well, what happened was he ended up capturing the wrong Endless.
Uh-huh.
Ends up capturing Dream instead. Now, Dream is who you might think of as Mr. Sandman in nursery rhymes.
Boom, 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 boom.
That kind of thing. He literally controls humanity's ability to sleep and dream. Which means that with this guy being held captive, some bad things start happening to a lot of people. See, his decades of capture, leads to humanity dealing with a mysterious illness in which people either become walking zombies or can't sleep, or those who do sleep just don't wake up. And they spend the rest of their lives asleep in a dreamless sleep, nonetheless. Hmm. Oh, it's horrific. Dream, meanwhile, sits and waits and waits until his captor dies. And then his captor's son grows older and older, never responding to their threats, to their bargaining. Until finally, there is a moment of carelessness on his captor's behalf, and he breaks out and proceeds to punish the man by sentencing him to endless waiting. In other words, the man is stuck in a perpetual nightmare where every time it seems that he's woken up, it's just another layer of the nightmare.
Hello, 2002 Twilight Zone.
Yeah, yeah. Now, during Dream's imprisonment...
1992, sorry.
Oh, wow.
During his imprisonment, some of his stuff is stolen. Some of his gear is stolen. Ends up being lost to time because the original old man's partners turned against him. So now Dream has to track all that down and make things right, and that's pretty much where the first issue ends.
Yep.
There's a lot, by the way, that I am leaving out.
Uh-huh.
Simply because I don't want to spoil anything. And I insist that everyone listening to my voice read it.
Here's the 20.
All right. The artwork is gorgeous. It's gothic. It's just the right amount of creepy. Now, this is not a book for kids. I will say that right up front.
No.
But because there is some scary imagery, there's some situations just plain terrible. There is a woman who, spoilers for a book that is more than 30 years old. Hmm. There is a woman who falls asleep in her 20s, wakes up in her 70s or whatever, and at some point along the way had been raped, given birth, and the baby given up for adoption, and she never knew. Because she was asleep the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
It is. There are some scenes in here that will just wreck you emotionally. And it's just the first issue. But it also gets its hooks in, and Gaiman's writing compels you to keep reading. The book is absolutely long-term relationship material. If you have Comixology Unlimited, this whole series is available to read for free. If not, it's well worth the cost of tracking down. Neil, call me.
Yeah, it is. It is one of my absolute favorite series. I own like the collected edition, like
the box set.
They just in the last 5-10 years, maybe, Gaiman went back and wrote a prequel, which ends at the beginning of that issue. You know, it's what Dream was doing just prior to his imprisonment.
Right.
I cannot say enough good things about it, and clearly you can't either. So
it's really well done. I'm going to keep reading it.
Good.
Yeah, it's on the list.
And if for some reason you lose Comixology, you can borrow my books.
All right. Yeah, or if Comixology just does something stupid. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I have another review for later or now, whenever you want it.
Let's go ahead and now.
All right, cool. So, you know, I lucked out because I liked both of the things I read this month.
Hey, good for you.
Hey, Spider-Gwen is fun, right? Spider-Gwen is a wonderful character. Gwen Stacy, but in an alternate universe where she didn't die after being knocked off a bridge and then having her neck accidentally broken. Instead, she is in a punk rock band with Mary Jane Watson and a couple other girls. The band is called the Mary Janes. It's a hoot and a holler. And her suit is made of thousands of synthetic spiders. That's a little weird.
But I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's because I had forgotten that until I picked up Spider-Gwen Into the Gwenverse.
Yes.
You know,
oh, God, I remember seeing that. I didn't pick it up, but I saw it.
Yeah, well, I did. this is a parallel universe kind of story. It starts at the end of time. There's this big rock concert at the end of time because humanity is like, we're all going to die. Let's just have a rager, you know.
As you do.
And so there's a restaurant there. It's kind of nice.
And there is this celebrity.
I got that reference.
She's like a celebrity built entirely on memes, right? And she's afraid of no longer existing because someone as great as her just can't not exist. So she has a plan to... Comics are weird, folks. She has a plan to suck all of the life force out of her audience, which she does through, like, little meme translator headsets they're wearing.
Babelfish.
And then, yeah. And then use that to propel her back in time so she can show up at several points in history as different famous superheroes. And thus, she will live on forever because, you know, the stories are infinitely retold, yada, yada, yada. So all this is happening at the same time that Gwen is having an argument with her dad because on Gwen's Earth, her identity is publicly known. Everyone knows that Gwen Stacy is Spider-Gwen, or Ghost Spider, as the official title. That's a dumb name, but
it is.
As she's officially known, Ghost Spider. And she stops the Bodega She-Bandit, which is, think Condiment King, but a girl.
Okay.
Yeah, and she gets in an argument with her dad because her dad's like, you've been going off to Earth Prime and hanging out with other spiders and, you know, then the Avengers and all that stuff and fighting world-ending monsters, and you're putting yourself at risk. And, you know, she does the classic, you know, you don't know me, man, kind of thing, and she's about to jump to the main Marvel dimension because she wants to get away for a while. She wants to see her friends, and as she's making that jump, her soul is kind of interrupted by this celebrities. And so what was supposed to send the celebrity back in time ends up just sending parts of Gwen's personality through time.
Oh.
So, you know, her naivete ends up becoming Captain Gwen America around World War II.
Okay.
Her confidence and kind of... selfishness of herself, I guess. Or what's the term whenever, like, you've got, like, a really high opinion of yourself? Like a snootiness?
Arrogance.
That becomes Thorgwen back in the time of the ancient Vikings.
Thorgwen.
There's also Iron Gwen.
Of course.
For her intelligence, there is a version that is essentially Batman. I don't remember what her code name was. And there's a couple more, but basically, Gwen ends up kind of lost in time and having to jump through these different time periods to collect parts of herself so they can finally mount an attack and also keep those parts of herself alive because this futuristic celebrity is sending, like, a Cthulhu monster in a lab coat, for example, back.
Oh, Dr. Cthulhu.
Sure. Sending them back to basically try to, like, assassinate all of the different Gwens throughout history.
He did not go to Elder Guardians.
Yeah. So there is a there's a few great moments. There's a Wolver-Gwen.
Of course there is.
You know? Where Captain Gwen America, like, after hearing this outlandish story, is just like, yeah, okay, whatever. I'm on board. Doesn't need to be convinced. And then happens across, like, a swimsuit calendar being passed around. I remember this is, like, 1940s. And it's a swimsuit calendar of her, but she didn't do the pictures. Wolver-Gwen did, because Wolver-Gwen has no problem doing stuff like that.
Yes.
And that led to a fight, which led to Wolver-Gwen impaling this one villain and inadvertently creating a futuristic Green Goblin. The less said about that, the better. You know, and I'm leaving a lot out because this book is like... coming at you 90 miles an hour, but it is a fun ride the entire time. It's like a 6-issue miniseries, you know, and it doesn't miss a beat. It's in one collected edition, well worth picking up. It's a lot of fun, especially Thorgwen remarking on how a villager brought her, like, a painting of herself. And she's mm-hmm. like, this isn't quite right. Thou hast not captured my posterior, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, and of course, the book ends with all of the Gwens coming together to be one Gwen again, and Gwen is now in a position where she's happy with herself, and unlike Peter Parker, she actually gets to be happy. So I would say definitely go out of your way to find Into the Gwenverse.
All right. How many more times can we say Gwen this episode?
Well, we're only 14 minutes in.
Oh, we could probably do it again.
You know, there's a Penguin book I was going to review.
Hey, when are we going to get to Chad?
Right now. Good. Yeah.
Dang it. I thought he was going to say Gwen he wants to.
Yeah, no, I didn't think of that. Chad, have you done anything recently? I got no more Gwen puns. I'm out.
Well, I haven't read anything that laudable, but I guess I got kind of a stupid question.
Oh, Chad, there are no stupid Gwens. I mean, stupid questions.
And now it's time for Chad Savage's stupid question.
So Darkseid has those bendy, chasey laser things,
yes, his
right?
Omega beams, yes.
What does he do with them when he's not fighting?
I mean...
You ever have like an itch on your back you just can't reach?
That's why all the lawns on Apocalypse are beautiful.
Like a baseball field.
We're just going to go with that.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, okay.
That was fun. I enjoyed that.
Has anybody read anything else?
Nightwing 100 is good.
Okay.
You know, spoilers, Dick Grayson is asked by Superman and Wonder Woman not just to lead a new superhero team, but to guard the Earth. All of it. Because, well, we can't imagine the world being in better hands. Basically, Nightwing fans, this is your chance. You've wanted Dick Grayson to have like this promotion to top-tier character. Support it by buying the book. It's all, I mean, the current run on Nightwing is remarkably good anyway. But yeah, Nightwing 100 is pretty good.
All right. So I also read something. Godzilla versus the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Just okay. Call down the Zords, man.
Oh, they do.
Call down the Zords.
So... Rita Repulsa is doing, you know, what she does, and she's trying to get a magical MacGuffin to take over the world, whatever. Tommy the Green Ranger shows up, tries to stop her, but the MacGuffin, and I'm not even going to bother trying to remember its name, it's the magical MacGuffin, cracks, and instead of doing what she wanted, Rita, Goldar, Scorpina... Finster and Tommy all end up in an alternate dimension. And they show up right as Godzilla and Gigan are fighting.
Okay.
And so Rita's all about this. I mean, because Angel Grove is just in ruins.
Right. This is what she's always
this
wanted.
This is what she's always wanted. Clearly, this is a world no stranger to monsters, and she's going to control these monsters and become the ruler of this world. Shenanigans happen. The other Rangers show up. Tommy, in the meantime, has tried to take down Godzilla with the Dragon Zord. It doesn't work. Because Godzilla.
That makes sense. It's like Mechagodzilla versus Godzilla.
Yeah. So the other Rangers show up. They call down the Zords. The Megazord fights Godzilla. It doesn't work because Godzilla.
Yeah. They need Godzuki is what they need.
Yeah.
Really kind of calm him down.
So Rita decides that she needs control of Godzilla. And basically she tries to take over this world with some of her monsters. And Godzilla's not having that. So he's going after Rita's monsters. In in a play that nobody saw coming, the Power Rangers end up helping Godzilla. They heal him with their power because he was getting overwhelmed at one point. So he takes it upon himself to not kill them.
That's mighty big of him.
That is mighty big of him. And between Godzilla and the Power Rangers, they defeat all the other monsters and send Rita packing. And then Godzilla decides to turn back on the Power Rangers because it's Godzilla. they teleport out just in a nick of time, and it ends with Rita falling through various dimensions of Power Rangers and Godzillas. Everywhere she goes, it's either a version of Godzilla or a version of the Power Rangers.
All right.
If you like the Rangers, you'll enjoy this because it's set in the universe of the Power Rangers comic books.
Right.
So it's that kind of art style. It's that kind of writing. And I enjoy those. If you like Godzilla, you're going to like this. So for me, it was a 2-for-1 deal.
Nice. Nice.
If there are no other reviews or new business, Monsieur Kent.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare yourself for Justin's long box. Yeah, baby. Extra long.
Okay. Chad?
Yeah.
You're going to like this.
I'm listening.
I've decided to take a break from looking at random comic book characters for the long box.
Oh, okay.
It's getting a little cumbersome to pick a person and whatever.
Makes sense.
So instead, I'm going to be looking at strange and bizarre storylines.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So last month, I did the Superpowers miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
This month, we're sticking with DC, and we're looking at World's Finest number 289, The Krill of Dying.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Excuse me.
Take your glasses off.
Just take it, yeah.
I'm going to take my glasses off now.
Yep. I'm going to open my little water bottle here.
Prologue.
The Krill of Dying. If they...
K-R-Y-L-L.
Okay, if the whale, W-A-I-L, of living isn't what saves the universe.
No, there's no whale involved. So, prologue, number one. A couple of thieves are trying to break into a building, but out of the shadows comes the Batman. In a flash, the two would-be criminals are thwarted.
I thought you said it was Batman.
Yes. Well, the two criminals are thwarted by the Batman.
But you just said the Flash.
In a flash, not the Flash.
Out of the darkness comes the Batman.
Batman, yes.
I see.
And
the darkness, huh?
And very quickly stops the two criminals, leaving them thwarted and worse for the wear. But at the other end of the alley, a mugging is taking place. The robber pulls a gun, and before Batman can react, the victim is dead. Batman pounces on the gunman and beats him senseless. Looking around, he realizes the true criminals from earlier fled. Falling to his knees in front of the dead body, he screams in anguish. Prologue number two. In the mountains outside of Metropolis, a couple of hikers are enjoying the sunshine. Suddenly, a boulder breaks loose and hurls towards them. There's Superman. Swooping in at the last second, he catches the boulder, and using his heat vision, he melts the rocks back into place. The hikers cheer and praise him, going so far as to say, Superman has the whole world in his hands. This gives Superman an existential crisis because he may be the protector of this world, but it's not his. Being the last Kryptonian, he truly is alone in the universe.
Oh, wow. We just kind of went there. Okay.
Back in the Batcave, even Alfred can't cheer Batman up. Suddenly, Superman arrives. Batman was actually just getting ready to call him on the Justice League radio, and Superman sensed that his friend needed him. Deciding they both need to be alone together, they fly off to the Fortress of Solitude.
This sounds like a power that's a whole lot like a cellophane S.
Mm-hmm.
While there, they muse at how close they've become over the years and discuss their past trauma. They console each other and shake hands. And, quote, they hold the grip for a long time.
Different time.
Yeah, it was the 80s.
Yeah. Okay.
But this tender moment is ruined by an alarm. A large meteorite is heading right for the fortress. As Superman intercepts it, a bright light flashes. Not the Flash. It flashes. Lights can flash. flashes from the space rock and momentarily blinds him. The meteorite crashes. The meteorite crashes and hatches open. Tube-like worms emerge and promptly die due to the cold.
Oh, wow. Well, that was easy.
Superman brings the rock back to the fortress for examine, and suddenly they come back to life.
Mysteriously.
The space worms come back to life. A strange aura surrounds the heroes, and the aliens begin to control all the weapons that Superman keeps in the fortress. The two fend off the attack until another meteor is seen hurtling towards Earth.
This is the whale of living.
This one means business.
At this point, Batman has the brilliant idea to use the fortress's computer to communicate with the aliens.
Hey. Why?
Yeah. They tell
He's going to give it a virus.
They tell the story of the Krill, an alien race who over time replaced all organic parts with robotic ones to gain immortality. However, in doing so, they gave up their emotions.
They gave up their wormanity.
Yeah. Eventually, the Krill created these worms and sent them out into the universe to learn about emotions. And they need to feed off people's emotions to survive. The second meteor lands, and bigger worms with holes in their center emerge. The small worms enter the large ones in, quote, physical linkage, symbiotic mating, and psychic synergy, end quote.
So are they going to eat all of Batman's depression and he's going to be a normal functioning adult?
No.
World's finest 256 is just picnic in the park.
No. Now whole, the alien worms decide to disregard their original purpose. Having felt the love between Batman and Superman, they decide they would rather die than feed off the people of Earth. As they crumble to dust, Batman and Superman each shed a tear. They lived only to die. The end.
Wow. It really speaks to the human condition.
It says something to the human condition.
The Krillin condition.
Yeah.
And don't worry. I've already got the storylines and issues for the rest of the year.
Oh, good.
Something special for the 150th next month?
Yeah, sure.
You know, that was a good one, though, because Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't worry, Chad. There's 10 more of these to come.
There's 10 more.
I'm here for it.
I want to thank our sponsors, Shirtosaurus and Gamefly. Be sure to check us out on our other shows. You Want Me to Watch What? The Week 3 Podcast, and the Sporadic TLDR. And on YouTube, Geek Cave Plays and Retromantics. Look us up on all social medias, including Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Discord, others. Links to all of them and more can be found at geekcavepodcast.com. And say hi when you get there. And be sure to tell your friends about us. We're on all your favorite podcast services, including Good Pods and Amazon Podcasts.
Hey, Amazon.
Yeah. And now, here is your out-of-context comic panel. We see Thor fighting a big beastie. And Thor says, as he lays a, you know, resounding left hook, "Ah, I've enjoyed TV. My favorite relates to the antics of a short yellow man who lives under the sea. Robert, the sponge with the straight trousers." For Kent, Darren, and Chad, I'm Justin. This has been the wonderful world of comics. And remember, everyone's a geek for something.